Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com. Come on, man.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans, and welcome to episode 103 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. As always, I'm your host. Good show for everybody today. Looking forward to jumping into it. Start the same way we do every week, and that's by starting off with the breakdown. Only got two real things to talk about in the breakdown this week. Start with some Colorado XO news. The most recent Colorado XO news is that Spring Media announced that they came to an agreement with ESPN in New Zealand, Australia, and the Pacific Islands to show the documentary that is being created about the Colorado XOs. That documentary is called Rugby Town. Rugby Factory was a documentary crew here that's been shooting, directing, producing, all that good stuff. I know they're scoring it now. It sounds like they've created 10 episodes about the first season, which I believe should be out here in the next few weeks or so. If you are in, you know, New Zealand, Australia, and the Pacific Islands, and you have access to ESPN, that's how you can watch it. The first episode is on Spring Media's website right now. I believe that URL is springmedia.se. And I know I've already seen some comments. People have asked, how do you go about watching it in the United States? And I don't know the answer to that just yet. I've learned through this whole thing that it's very hard to lock down a distribution deal in the United States. And, you know, if it was up to me, if this is what probably I will end up doing, is I'll probably just use a VPN, you know, set up my location in one of those countries that it's available. See if you can go about getting it that way. But it's exciting stuff. You know, it's good to just get rugby out to some more people, tell the story about this Colorado XO program. This whole project's been cool. We've talked about it a million times, but it's been fun to work on. I think a lot of people will get a kick out of it once they see what's going on, if they haven't been, you know, familiar with what's happening, and hopefully they come check out the podcast, learn more about it. So that's one big piece of Colorado XO news I wanted to talk about. The other thing I wanted to touch on in the breakdown is lots of Premier Rugby Sevens news came out this week. Talked about this new Pro Sevens League that was starting up in the fall a couple of months ago, and now we're starting to see some more news rolling out, which is good to see. It's becoming more and more real. So the first piece of news that came out this week is that Fox Sports will televise the inaugural games in the fall. And the second piece of news is that the inaugural championship will be played in Memphis, Tennessee on October 9th. I was looking at the tickets today. They look pretty cheap. They range anywhere from $15 to $115, and that's the roll out the red carpet. It looks like you get, you know, a buffet and some other stuff with that stuff too. So tickets are cheap. Memphis is a fun town. If you haven't been, I would recommend checking it out. There'll be no better time to go down there in October and watch some Sevens rugby. And like I said, it's all becoming very real. They've got the players. They've got the places to play now. They've got the broadcast deal done. They have a date so that we can set our watches to this. And I will imagine once the Olympics are over, because a lot of the people playing in this competition are playing in the Olympics on the men and women's side of things. Once they're free of their Olympic duties, probably come back, and then I'm sure we'll see some more news about this as we get a little bit closer. And you can check all this stuff out on PR7s.com if you're interested in looking into it yourself. So that's pretty exciting stuff. It'll be a nice little thing to add into the fall. There's something like this has really never been done before in the United States, a pro sevens circuit league type of thing. So I'm very interested to see how it goes. We're going to be keeping a close eye on it, and it'll be fun to see how it all goes. So make sure you stick along with us, and we'll be keeping up with all the latest news on the PR sevens circuit league, whatever we're calling it, the Premier Rugby Sevens. It'll be fun to watch. That does it for the breakdown this week. We'll move into all the rugby you could watch this weekend. So the test matches are kind of over, test match period, so it's a little bit more quiet than it has been these last few weeks, these last couple of months. But there is some rugby to watch this weekend. So we'll start with the 2021 NAI Sevens. That's in Utah, I believe. It gets started on Friday and Saturday, of course. Both start at 8 a.m. You can watch that on Flow Rugby. It sounds like that'll just be a long, continuous stream. We got the Toyota Cheetahs versus Sharks down in South Africa on Saturday at 6:30 a.m. Mountain Time, of course. You can watch that on Flow Rugby. We've got the British and Irish Lions versus Springboks. That matches on Saturday at 10 a.m., and you can watch that one on Peacock. Went and made sure that was the case today. Moving into MLR, we're in the playoffs. We're in the Major League Rugby Quest for the Shield Championship Series. So the first match of the weekend, first playoff match, we got Rugby United New York at Rugby ATL on Saturday at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. You can catch that one on CBS Sports Network. Second match of the weekend, we have Utah Warriors at Los Angeles Giltinis. That's the Western Conference Final. That's on Sunday at 4 p.m. Mountain Time. That one is also on CBS Sports Network. Should be some good ones. And we'll talk a little bit more about it with Dan Power in the interview portion of the show, since he's the voice of MLR. So he had some good information on what to watch, what are going to be the kind of the keys for some of these teams as they go through this conference final round and then get ready to go into the finals next weekend. So it's crazy how fast MLR went. On one hand, it's felt like kind of a long season, but on the other hand, it feels like just yesterday season was getting rolling. So we got two more weekends of this. So soak it up, enjoy it while you can. If you haven't given rugby a shot, you know, or MLR a shot in particular, check it out. Nothing better than playoffs in any sport, to be quite honest. So those will be two good ones to watch. And then last but certainly not least, we have the Olympic Rugby Sevens getting started. So this is the reason we've been doing all these Sevens drafts. If you've been following along, or you know, maybe you're listening from, jumped over from one of the beats that we've been doing. Maybe you're a Rockies fan, you want to give rugby a shot, you listen to the Rockies Rugby Sevens draft. This is why we're doing it. We wanted to get people excited for the Olympics, and it's finally here. So the first match of the weekend for the men's team is on Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time. I think that's going to be on CNBC. I could be wrong, so make sure you do your own research with that one. They play their second. That's against Kenya. I don't know if I said that. Second match is on Monday, July 26th, against Ireland at 3:30 a.m. Mountain Time. That one will be on NBC Sports, according to this graphic that I'm looking at. And then on Monday night, they play South Africa at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time, also on NBC Sports. The knockouts begin at 5 a.m. on Tuesday. So hopefully USA puts up a good showing in the pool, and they can make it into those rounds, because we're hoping for a medal. We're hoping for a medal from the men's and the women's. And then the women's times, of course, on Wednesday, they take on China at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. I think that one is also on CNBC. I'm not entirely sure, though. Then on Thursday, they take on Japan at 3 a.m. Mountain Time. And then Australia at 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. It says both of those have not yet been decided what NBC network they're going to be on. So NBC's owning the whole thing. It's going to be on NBC property. And then the women's knockouts begin on Friday, as early as 3:30 a.m. Mountain Time, Eastern Time, so it's 1:30 Mountain Time. So be fun to watch. I've been looking forward to the Olympics. It's been on my calendar for months, really. You know, as it's getting closer, I've been getting more and more excited for it. And like I said, they've got good enough squads to medal, both the men and women, so that's what we're hoping for. And it'll be fun to keep an eye on all that. That does it for all the rugby that you can watch this weekend. Go ahead and jump into the interview portion of the show now. Very pleased to have on the voice of Major League Rugby, Dan Power. I love catching up with Dan. Second time he's come on the show. I think I had him on in lockdown too. I thought it would be the perfect time to bring him on, since it's the eve of the MLR playoffs. So no better guy to come talk about the matchups and what to watch for and what he's expecting to see than Dan. So we talk about rugby, we talk about some golf, and of course we had asked Dan about how he almost made it to the NFL as a punter. So we talked quite a bit about that as well. It's a good show. I really enjoyed the interview. I hope you all enjoy the conversation as well. And so with that introduction, let's go ahead and kick it to that conversation with the voice of Major League Rugby, Dan Power.
Well, not since Moses parted the Red Sea have we seen something open up that easy.
All right, now welcome back onto the show, the voice of Major League Rugby, Dan Power. Dan, how's it going?
It's great. Great to be back, Colton. Loving the work that you're doing there in Glendale, the X's and O's. Especially the last few weeks, buddy. We've been seeing more and more of the X's and O's in MLR, so it's been great. But you've been busy.
I have been busy. That's on my list of questions, Dan, so we got to try not to jump the gun here.
Sorry.
No, all good, all good. So, Dan, I guess the first most important question we got to ask you, it's been a year since I talked to you. It's been over a year, I think, actually. So this is a good catch-up. But I need to ask how the golf game's looking. I know you sound like you're a pretty busy guy on the road a lot, but have you carved out some time to play some golf?
I actually have. I've taken the clubs with me to a few stops this season, which has been quite nice. So quick shout out to the Fort Golf Club in Indianapolis and the Golf Club of Indiana, two of my favorite tracks out there and in the Indianapolis area. So got to play a bit of golf this year. It's been great. And how about you? How's your game?
I'm very close to getting my tour card, believe it or not. I have not had that much time to play this year. I've only played three rounds. But these last couple of rounds have been looking good for me in terms of me. You know, I shot a nice, cool 46 on the back nine at Evergreen 2 weeks ago. That's good for me, Dan. That is good. I only hit one person's house. So that's good stuff.
As long as it's not the big house, usually you're pretty good.
Yeah, no, I was good. No windows were broken. No glass shattered. So I knew it was in the clear. All good there. But Dan, I heard a question on the radio the other day, made me think of you actually. And it's in light of the Jeff Bezos thing. So if you could go to space or be a scratch golfer, which would you choose?
Oh, the egotistical me thinks that I can probably get to scratch golf with enough practice. So I'll go space. I think just because it's such a rare thing in terms of the number of people have been in space, it's pretty special. So I saw Richard Branson kind of had a little skirt up there as well, and Jeff Bezos gone up there. So I'll go space. What about you? What'd you choose?
I think that's the right answer. That's the answer I had too. If I practice for 25 to 30 years every single day, I think I maybe could get to scratch. But I don't think I could ever go to space. I don't have the funds. I'm not cut out to be an astronaut. My eyes aren't very good, which is also a problem in golf too. But I can get my eyes fixed enough to play golf. But I don't know if I could go to space. So I think that's the right answer. I think that's the correct one.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. Yeah. Once the season's over, Dan, I'll shoot up to you and we can play Highland Meadows or something, and you can see this body of work in real life.
Sold. You sold me. You had me as soon as the season's finished. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, a couple weeks. You're almost there. So that kind of, I guess, that leads into the actual rugby part of this rugby show, Dan. How's the year been for you? I know I talked to you a little bit earlier. Tell us a little bit about what it's been like for you, especially with all these different challenges, you know, calling games remotely, because you haven't been traveling, correct?
Oh, traveling, but just not to the
state. not to where you should actually be traveling to.
Yeah, you got to give a lot of credit to George Killebrew, Bill Gorin, Jimmy Cuddy, Reese Edwards, the whole team at Tupelo and L2 down in Austin. It was a huge leap of faith to go to this remote model. COVID kind of forced the hand that we had to do it. It was just restrictions in different states and when the season started. And, you know, a lot of credit goes to MLR for really having a crack at this. And there certainly are challenges. It's different to calling a game in real life. But overall, I think it's been a resounding success in terms of not only all of the games happening, but the quality of the broadcast has definitely improved this year. And I think the budget side of things was a big improvement as well, which, you know, is obviously important when you're starting a league out. You don't want to be blowing the budget out year after year.
Right. That's correct. And I guess that kind of leads into my next question as we get into some MLR stuff, Dan, is I'm going to ask you what the biggest surprise of the MLR season has been, and I'm going to jump out in front of you and answer my own question first. I think that the biggest surprise has just been that it's all happened. Like going into the season, I've talked about this before. We saw the Broncos play a practice squad wide receiver in a game against the New Orleans Saints. And that you really haven't had any of those situations. Like you've seen all these other leagues and competitions kind of fall victim to some COVID in some way. And MLR's gone on pretty successfully with the exception of, I think, the first game of the year just got moved back a day.
Yeah. Yeah, and just to have something different, because you're 100% right, Colton. The fact that they knocked it out of the park, and it's testament to the, not only the league, but the teams and the players as well, to stay within the guidelines and the protocols so they didn't have any oops moments, you know, little accidents, like
right.
having a practice squad wide receiver take quarterback. You know, it would have been quite an interesting situation in rugby to have that.
What would be the rugby equivalent to that?
So we almost had it, and it wasn't due to COVID. It was due to some injuries and everything else. Nate Osborne nearly had to suit up against Old Glory a few weeks ago because they were on the road, traveled with the squad, and both travel reserves played, and they had another injury in the warm-ups. And it was like, well, we have no one else. And luckily someone came good or was able to eke out 10, 20 minutes. So they Nate Osborne and his hamstrings dodged the bullet there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's probably the closest we've come to it. But I'll go different. I'll say for me, it was the impact of the college draft rookies. There was some skepticism. And I think, in all fairness, with the history of what we'd seen, rightfully so. But again, went ahead. The college draft was a success. And we not only saw players play, but we saw them dominate. I mean, you look at Andrew Guerra down in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Not only did he play, he makes the Eagles.
You know, right.
He goes on tour with the Eagles. Connor Mooneyham was an absolute star for Austin this year.
He would have been
all 12th round. Yeah, all 12 first rounders playing
yeah.
this year with Mike Matarazzo getting a start on the weekend for ATL. So I think the draft was a big success because it was a little bit of a gamble, a bit of a risk, but it's definitely paid off.
I would agree with you. I know I talked to some other people in the past, and we – you know, we're discussing like what the number of draft picks we're going to play. And I, again, thought that was going to be, you know, reliant on COVID. I thought COVID was going to force a lot of people's hands and maybe play some guys that weren't maybe as ready as they should be, but that wasn't the case at all. They just played because they were good enough and ready. And I think that's a good sign as they move into a little bit bigger of a draft. This, I think, what is that, in a couple of weeks now? It's crazy how fast the summer's flying by.
Yeah, it has fun.
That is a good one. That's one I haven't got an answer for yet. So I always like to check in those boxes, Dan. Thank you for doing that. Dan, next question I have for you, MLR related. I had these as MLR rapid fire, but I don't think that's how it's going to go, and that's okay with me. What team this year didn't live up to expectations? There's only four teams that can make the playoffs. Only one team can win it all. Is there a team out there that in your mind didn't live up to the expectations that you kind of had for them going into the season?
Yeah, you know, and you don't want to be critical of any of the teams.
No, not at all.
Challenges and faces.
Yeah, and like you just said, with all the weird stuff going on this year.
Yeah, it was definitely like injuries, bugs that hit some teams and the shortened off season. But I'll probably go Old Glory. I had them penciled in as a playoff team at the start of the year, and they fell short. So I think there's a lot of positives to take away from their season, though.
Right.
And they finished well, but I think they were a little patchy through the middle of the field, just through some injuries and then some international commitments and stuff like that. But yeah, probably Old Glory for me personally, where I was a little underwhelmed.
Yeah, I think, and like you said, that's fair. A lot of teams, you know, Toronto didn't even go back to Canada all year. San Diego played games in like 10 different places. So everything with a grain of salt, of course, but wanted to make sure I got that in. Has there been a team that's been a pleasant surprise for you this year?
ATL, Atlanta, for sure. Mm-hmm. I knew they were going to be good, but I had them as like a solid 500 team, like a grinding, physical, but I didn't see any circuit breakers. There wasn't many plays in there. I'm like, oh, you know, 79th minute, that guy can win you a game. But they found a few. Like Mark O'Keefe was a revelation down there. Adrian Colasar as well. Their locks, like their forward pack, Jason Dunn, Ross Deacon, their locks, Momsen and Redlingas are just unbelievable. Like, they could go a long way if they get through New York. Like, they could, I could definitely see them testing, you know, the Western finalists, the champ out of the West in the finals. So ATL definitely the surprise packet, how well they did this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that one too. They just kind of, it seems like, whether they stumble early on or and then they just kind of steamrolled everybody, with the exception of Rugby United New York, which I think is what makes this, you know, upcoming Eastern Conference final so interesting. So that's the next question I have, is what does Rooney have to do to win this weekend?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Like, Rooney beat him twice, to beat the same team three times.
Yeah, that's almost unheard of, right? That doesn't happen really, like, anything.
Any sports. And it's just because that's a momentum thing. It's hard to keep that momentum, and ATL are a really, really good side. So it'll be tough. I think everyone credits ATL. They're very fit. Their defense is really well structured. They've got a strong defensive side. They play a territory game where they kick well, chase well, and tackle well, and they thrive off the mistakes of other teams. And that's kind of been their blueprint. And even though teams know it, it's hard to play against. Where New York have a couple of game breakers. They've got a couple of guys, and in particular, an old guy named Andy Ellis, playing number nine, who has seen it all and done it all. Mm-hmm. If there's anyone who can go into a big game and pull the right strings to get the upset down there, it's Andy Ellis. So I think if he's up for it, if he turns up on Saturday night, he's up for it. You know, ATL need to really be on their A game, or New York could spank him for a third time down there.
Right. And then I guess we can jump over to the other conference, Dan. What's going to be the difference in that Utah-Giltinis match?
Well, yeah. Utah obviously won on the weekend, but I don't think they take too much out of it, because that was pretty much a Giltinis, you know,
yeah.
team.
It was a scheduled week of rest in a lot of different places on the field.
100%. And yeah, the only thing now is the consistency and cohesion. They get up the week together and playing together. They go with a little momentum into this game. They played LA in California, but so far early this year, so they've been in a big stadium. So the Coliseum probably won't be as overwhelming for them as it could have been for other teams who hadn't been there. And it'll be tough. Again, LA have champions.
Like, right.
Throughout the team. To be honest, Colton, they've probably got a couple of Hall of Famers in there.
Right.
When it's all said and done. So, immediately they're favorites, and they deserve to be. But Utah, you know, are a confident team. They've got a couple of really amazing players, Mikey Teo. They've got a good forward pack in Fortain and Jensen at the lineout, which needs to be strong, because Dave Dennis is such a great, you know, tactician at the lineout for LA. So they're going to need a good lineout. Samu Malolo is back and healthy. He's just a really dynamic hooker. I like him a lot. But it'll be a tough ask, mate. That LA team, I think we might see something special from them on Sunday.
Yeah, the vibe I've kind of gotten from this LA team all year is, like, I feel like they can just turn it on when they want to. They can flip a switch and hang 60 on you. And it just seems like I don't know, I guess we'll see, because now it really matters. But they've just been building up all season for a moment like this to just really, you know, bring out the big guns and throw everything they have at you. And it's kind of like, I kind of feel like that might happen this weekend, and hopefully Utah's ready for the test. But I did go on record a couple times already this year, and I said I think Utah can pull off the upset. I said if Utah can make it into the Western Conference final, it would not be that surprising to me to see them pull off an upset, just because they've done it so many times this year, right? They that's what they do. They scare you just to the edge of death, and then they win. So I could, you know, I wouldn't be that surprised if that happened either, to be quite honest.
No, and I think it's kind of weird, right? You've got the two opposites of the teams. LA, quick starters, first 20 minutes, you know, the blitzkrieg, they get after it. Utah now are the comeback kids, the last 20 minutes. So now you ask yourself, can LA get out in that first 20 minutes and build a lead that they can maintain? Or can Utah keep it tight and break hearts like they've done all year at the back end of the game? To me, I agree with you. I see this one as more of a potential for an upset. I think Atlanta are probably stronger favorites over New York than what LA are of Utah. I could see this one being, if there's going to be an upset this weekend, this would be my bet on it.
I would agree with you there, Dan. That's you know, I think we're on the right path there. If only we could put some money on this, try to make a little money on the weekend. But Dan, I wanted to add, oh, I guess, do you feel comfortable giving a finals pick? Is that your pick? Is Atlanta and LA?
If I was putting some money down, yeah, I'd go LA Atlanta final. Would be the smart bet if you were a betting person.
Okay. There you go. Take it to the bank. Dan, so speaking of the Giltinis, I was just out in Utah this last weekend watching Maake Moody and Jalen Robinson, some of the XO guys that I spent the spring around watching them play a little bit. So I know you've been locked in on MLR, but you know, what do you think about what the little bit that you've seen about this Colorado XO program so far?
Well, like you and I were just hanging out together. I was down helping out my old coach, Mike Tolkien, with the under 23 USA Academy, and just the talent that was there, the physical specimens. I think it's time that we worked a little harder, start unearthing these. And what, you know, the team at Glendale are doing with the X's and O's plays into that perfectly, because we've said it for years, but no one's ever really done anything about it. It's like, oh, you get all these great D1 athletes who don't go to the pros. What do they do? And until MLR came around, there wasn't really an answer for what do you do. It's like, do you want to come play club rugby in, you know, Iowa? I've just gone from playing in front of 70,000 people in the Rose Bowl, and you're going to play in a park with a dog. And in Iowa, it's like there was never a lure. So I think it's great now that Glendale has recognized that, hey, there is a pathway now for these D1 athletes. Let's go out and find them. And we've already seen, and I think I just said to you when we caught up, that was a lot faster than I anticipated. So Cruz and the crew there at the X's and O's of getting those guys ready as quick as they did, because we've seen some good performances. I mean, Steely, Dave Steele down in Austin,
yeah,
looks like a real keeper. I think, you know, Austin probably going to re-sign him and keep him because he looks like a guy. Like Adam Channel on the weekend had a great game.
Yeah.
He's a little in and away there. Great rugby IQ, right? He set that up perfectly and scored a great try in the second half, and had a couple other really good plays as well. So it's working.
Yeah.
It's working a lot quicker than I thought. I think the good thing now, Colton, is they've proved that it's working. I think you'll see an even higher caliber of athletes starting to seek out the X's and O's of going, huh, you know, I see my buddy playing on, you know, CBS.
Right.
I see my buddy playing on Fox Sports. Okay, this thing's legit. I'm going to go check this out now and get the coaching I need to get up to speed. And you know, let's be honest, the resources are not going to be available for that kind of tutelage at all MLR teams. Some are built for it.
Yeah.
And others are building towards it. So the X's and O's fills that void beautifully right now.
Yeah, I think you kind of touched on a lot of the things that I've seen this year. And like, I spent the whole spring around him. I had Peter Pascon last week, and he's kind of the guy that's been pushing the buttons and getting people, you know, in here and giving them, you know, the opportunity to try all this stuff out. And I asked him straight up, like, did you expect this much success this quick? Like, I don't think you would ask anybody that here around the program that said, you know, we'd have six guys in the MLR and one guy make it back to the NFL in 10 weeks, like real 10 real matches of time. And so it's been interesting. It's been fun to be around. I've talked about it quite a bit on the show, just seeing how hard they worked. And that's the thing I didn't really expect either, is like how quickly they would fall in love with the game and how serious they took it. Because they didn't, you know, the guys that I've seen around here didn't come to, you know, for a vacation, didn't come to just kind of give this thing a little try. Like, they come to try to be the best player they can be. I think that's part of the football mentality and some of these, you know, things that are ingrained in them from these high-level D1 football programs, from making it to the NFL. Like, you can't do anything halfway, and it's been cool to see them, like, fully take advantage of this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. The NFL thing's like just the cherry on top, right? Is
yeah, just it just.
Not, I know we had that league, the spring league, but you know, probably not a lot coming out of there. It's just a gap fill. But NFL teams will leave no stone unturned to gain an advantage. And if you can add a little bit of like that rugby into your repertoire for a college football player, you know, all of a sudden you learn a few new things on defense in particular, like for a linebacker, DN, cornerback, even D-line guys who come over, tighten up their tackle technique and become more effective. And all of a sudden, you go from like an 80% tackle effective cornerback to 90+. Teams are going to be like, yeah, that's the guy we want back there.
Exactly.
So that's a part of it. I don't know if they had that thought going forward. I'm pretty sure it was just rugby specific.
Yeah, no.
Now that becomes like, well, that's kind of interesting too. You get an NFL, maybe a guy's been in the league for a year or two and has gone through the workout circuit and hasn't been picked up again. Come play a season of rugby and kind of polish up a little bit of your athleticism in a different way, and you know, you'll get noticed again. You've got a little bit of different film, so it looks good.
Yeah, it's just another thing I think to add to the resume that, you know, this is an opportunity we've had already, you know, seen one guy go to the NFL. And the guy I'm speaking is Michael Bandy. He played scrum half this year for, I think, 7 or 8 games. He was like a slot receiver at San Diego. So he got picked up by the Chargers, and, you know, he's going to have to make the NFL on special teams. And, you know, you have to do on special teams. You got to hustle, you got to tackle. And Bandy was just working on his tackling for 5 months. So he's got a leg up on some of the other receivers that he'd have to beat out for a special team spot. And I think that's just another interesting little wrinkle to the whole thing. And Dan, speaking of the NFL, I didn't ask you about this last time, but you have some familiarity with crossing over into the NFL. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Hunting a football is a little different to actually playing a skill position in the NFL.
He's still crossing over to the NFL, though. I think the point stands. So you had workouts with what? Based on my research, the Vikings, Jets, Bears, Ravens, and Chargers?
So got a couple more in there as well.
Oh, I knew I was short a few. Let's hear them.
All that tells me is that how massive of a failure I was if none of those teams weren't beside me. And I tried out for all of them.
No, it's hard. There's only 32 of those jobs. That's a very small percentage of people getting those jobs.
It was, and the one thing I'll tell you, if there's any kids out there playing rugby who want to kind of have a shot at the NFL, the difficult thing is the experience is they'll take a punt, and they'll take, literally, as I was punting football, they'll take a punt and they'll look at you, but unless you are 110% game ready to go, you won't get a shot. Like, there was, you know, initially, I'll give you a quick story. One of my workouts was with the Jets. So I got brought in to work out with the Jets. It was actually the back end of the 2009 rugby season. So we'd just come off the Churchill Cup. And I went and worked out with the Jets. Had a great workout. Coach Westhoff, if anyone watched Hard Knocks, the Jets edition, a bit of a character. He was a special teams coach there at the time. And it was me, two other punters. One actually was Colorado, went to school at UNC up here in Northern Colorado. Mm-hmm. And all the guys at the back end of their NFL careers, great workout. They basically grabbed me afterwards and said, listen, yeah, you're a guy. We dropped up the paperwork, and I'm like, this is fantastic. Yeah, I'm going to get a shot at the Jets. And scout comes down about 45 minutes later, and he's like, hey, what college did you go to? And so I told him, and he goes, never heard of them before. I said, well, they're in Australia. And he goes, oh, no, what college football did you play? I never played college football. He goes, oh, okay. What professional football did you play? I said, none. He goes, why are you here? I said, well, you guys invited me. And he goes, this is a veteran workout. We have a free, like a undrafted free agent college kid that we picked up. We need a veteran to compete with him. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've never played it down in my life. And they're like, oh. I said, well, why'd you bring me here? And he goes, oh, we looked at your date of birth and just figured you were old and you were a veteran. So I said, I'm not getting a contract. They're like, no. And then they called one of the other guys. And he was at the airport, turned around, came back, signed for the Jets. Didn't make the team, but there you go. So they definitely want you to have some form of experience. And it was a tough run. So go to college if you can, if you're young enough. Go to college, get some experience, and go to the NFL.
Interesting. I've never heard of that, anything like that happening before. That's not surprising, though. I feel like, is that like a specific rule they had to fill or something? Like, would they have gotten fined if they signed you? Also, could you have lied? Like, would they have verified? Like, yeah, he went there.
No, obviously the records of the NFL are so, like, thorough, right? They know.
Yeah.
Like, all contracts are public knowledge, and it's not like rugby where you sign a contract and they're like, oh, Colton has signed. But you don't know what for. Like the NFL, like you can literally get online and look at like the value of every player on that 53-man roster of what they've signed for, how long they've signed for. So, yeah, don't worry. The thought crosses your mind of like, I played for the Baton Rouge Mudcrabs.
Yeah, we could just made something up like that movie Accepted, right? As a kid didn't get into college, just makes his own college. Could have done that with you,
South
Dan.
South Harmon Institute of Technology.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. I couldn't think of the college off the top of my head. The last question I have to ask you about that, Dan, is like, how did you like get your foot in the door though? Like, did you have like, what was the connection? Like, how did you get the first workout? Because I would assume they kind of all steamroll after that a little bit.
It does. Like, obviously, once you kind of get one, your name goes out in the waiver wire. People like lose that guy. Builds momentum. So the first one, I was living in Connecticut and playing for the New York Athletic Club and in the pool for the Eagles. And I was training at a high school doing just some conditioning work. was, I think it was mid-season Super League, so I was just doing a bit of extra work. And there was a high school football team kind of running some drills at the opposite end of the field. And I'm like, I've got my little kind of box workout where I'm just doing some shuttles and my own little space, and it's a huge field. So I'm like, everyone should be okay. Anyway, they start throwing the ball down. It keeps landing in my stuff. And I'm like, throw it back. And I finally say, hey, any chance you can kind of just like go to the other side of the field, like give me a bit of space in the nicest possible way. Yeah, all right. And the ball comes down again. I'm like, it's fine. All right, I had enough. So I just punt the ball as hard as I can, and it just takes off. Like, of all the punts that I've shanked, all the kicks I've shanked in my life, this is not one of them. This one is an absolute piss missile. It just takes off down the field. And the coach comes over, and I'm like thinking, this guy wants to go. Like,
yeah, you're going to have to get a fight this day.
We're going to have a discussion. I'm going to have to call my wife from the Connecticut, you know, state trooper's office saying, I had a fight with a high school football coach over kicking a football. I'm sorry. Can you come bail me out? But he comes down and he's got a ball in his hand. He goes, do that again. I'm like, do what again? He goes, punt it. And I said, all right. So I punt it again, hit another decent one. He's like, it's incredible. Who do you play for? I said, New York Athletic Club. He goes, never heard of them. And I'm like, oh, okay. It's the New York Athletic Club. Like,
yeah.
He goes, yeah, I've heard of them, but I didn't know they had a football team. Like, oh, no, rugby. He goes, you don't play football? And I was like, no, just rugby. And he's like, you should make a couple of million doing what you just did. And then, boom, that were the magic words, Colton. I was like,
yeah,
make a couple of million, huh? So I went back home and started learning as much as I could and kind of looking at the numbers and what happens. And so I went back to the field and just went and bought a couple of NFL balls, went back to the field and started punting. And same coach come up and he's like, I have a, I think it was his cousin, was a coach at Rutgers at the time. He goes, you should go try out. I think it was, I was like 27 maybe, and married, had my son. Going back to university, especially an American university, probably wouldn't have been desirable for my wife for me to do. I would have had a great time.
That would have been, yeah, that would have been I know, yeah. CU's kicker was like a 32-year-old Australian guy very recently.
Recently, that's right. Yeah, but I don't think he was married with kids. So,
yeah, a little different life situation.
Dan Wilder there, living the dream. But so, yeah, I said, that was just not going to be possible. And he goes, you should meet him. And so I did. And we kind of talked a little bit. I kicked some balls. This was down in New Jersey. And kicked some balls. And he's like, listen, your leg's better than our punter, like by far. And he's probably going to try to get into the NFL. He goes, you should try to get in the NFL. He goes, there's an agent locally, does a lot of special teams guys. He had a couple of kickers and punters under him at the time. And so I went and had a workout with him. He filmed it. He's like, listen, I think we can get some interest, man. He goes, you've got probably one of the biggest legs I've ever seen.
Wow.
And sure enough, a couple of months later, I was actually in camp with the USA Sevens in Chula Vista.
Uh-huh.
And we're just getting ready to go, I think it was the Wellington Australia legs, back when it was Wellington Adelaide, I believe. And Miami Dolphins called up and said, I want to sign you. I want you to come in. They had an assistant special teams coach who's like a kicking guru. And he got the video and he was just like, let me polish this guy up. Like, you can't train that kind of power.
Right.
Let me train him up and we're going to have like a really good punter on our hands. And so they sent a box of balls. I still remember they sent a box of balls out to the OTC. I'm like at Sevens camp and all of a sudden a box of NFL football show up for the Miami Dolphins. It was kind of a surreal moment.
Wow.
So I went down there, had a good workout, real good workout. And Bill Parcells was their advisor at the time, football advisor. And he stood up on a balcony and kind of watched. And it was just unfortunate that the special teams coach, the assistant, took a head coach a special teams coaching job at the Kansas City Chiefs and left. And the Dolphins were kind of like, you're too raw. Like, we don't have the skills
to
polish your skills now. And so as quick as I was in Miami, I was home. I do remember getting on Craigslist and looking at waterfront property in Miami, pretty confident that I was going to be making a couple of
money. Oh, man.
Come to fruition. So that was basically how it all got started. And then from there, you have a couple of workouts, you get a name and, you know, a bit of networking. I was a pretty aggressive networker. I would call teams whenever they were playing a left-footed punter and said, hey, I'm a left-footed punter and I'd like to come in and work out for you guys on Friday and kick to your return guys so they can get a look at the ball coming off a lefty. And quite a few teams like said, yeah, we'd love to have you. And, you know, Minnesota were one of those teams that brought me in, and that ended up getting me an invite up to camp with them. So it worked out.
Last question, I guess, Dan, I lied. Do you get paid for that? You get paid for those like one-off things, or do you not get paid until you ink the deal?
No, you don't.
Oh, NFL, and I can't throw you like $500 or something?
You get some food. I mean, depending, actually, it's weird, Colin, because the teams are different. So I remember going and working out for the Bears like 2 days after Christmas, and it was miserable. The field was frozen, the windy. It was typical Chicago in December. Horrible workout. And usually the teams will throw you a bit of gear, like shorts and a T-shirt, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. But not the Bears. They were stingy. They had a scout stand there and watched us get dressed and undressed and made sure nothing found its way in the bag. No souvenirs. No food. They didn't feed us. Basically, flew us in, flew us out, got it out. Where the San Diego Chargers were phenomenal. Like, awesome. Like, treated me so well there. It was, like, I felt like, almost like welcome there, like a part of the furniture. I went there probably six times, I think, and took care of you. You're going down into the equipment room. The guy's like, you need some shoes, you need cleats, gloves. I'm like, oh, pardon, I don't need any of that stuff. Sure.
Yeah, okay, might as well. Throw it in a little shadow box or something, commemorate the trip.
Yeah, I had like at one point a closet full of Chargers gear living in Denver, Colorado. It wasn't ideal.
And, your son's a Chiefs fan. So
loves the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's full circle. You just
gotta
do something with the Raiders now, and then I mean maybe you can cop some Raiders gear at this USA Ireland game in October.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's actually just in Vegas. The stadium looks unreal too. Yeah. So that'll be an awesome event. So actually, Chiefs Raiders, two teams that never gave me a workout. So I reckon I hope they lose.
Yeah.
Every year.
I'm right there with you, Dan. All right, Dan, that's all the questions I had. I didn't know we were going to talk about punt for so long, but I love it. And I got a soundbite out of you that the Bears are cheap. We can put that on the internet and get a lot of views on the podcast. That's always good. But, Dan, which match are you calling this weekend? How can people listen to you? How can people follow along with what you're doing on the internet?
Oh, perfect, man. Yeah, I will have the Western Conference Final on Saturday. So it'll be at about 4 o'clock local time in Colorado on CBS Sports, the LA-Utah game. And then I'll have the final on August 1st on CBS, which will be TBD versus TBD.
I love it. Dan, always a pleasure catching up with you. Thanks so much for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
You too, mate. Great seeing your face today in a safe, COVID-friendly, socially distanced manner.
Yes.
You're the best.
It was nice. Looking forward to seeing you soon, Dan. Have a good one.
Thanks, mate.
Sonny Bill, eat your heart out.
All right. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with the voice of Major League Rugby, Dan Power. I know I certainly did. I love talking to Dan. He's a great guy. He's a busy man, so I really appreciate him carving out some time out of his busy schedule to come chat with me. And we hope to catch up with Dan again here soon. I gotta finally play him in golf. If you've been listening to the show, I always throw in the little subtle golf references when, you know, we're talking about golf. I need to get up there and play with Dan. No bones about it. We need to just make it happen. So we will be hammering that out once the season's over, hopefully. Moving into the required reading portion of the show, it's a cool piece that's kind of been circulating around the rugby corner of the internet. I thought I'd make this week's required reading. That was a tough sentence. I just stumbled over every single word in that sentence, I think. But it's called Retired Patriot Safety, Patrick Chung's New Passion, Constant Chaos of Rugby by Mike Reese of ESPN.com. So this is a good read on former New England Patriots safety and current New England Free Jacks co-owner Patrick Chung. Patrick Chung's kind of got into rugby through his former teammate, Nate Ebner. So they kind of pooled some money together and bought a little share in the New England Free Jacks, which is cool. It's just about him getting into the sport. So I pulled a little quote from here. Quote, it's constant chaos. You try to rip each other's head off and then have a beer after. I like that, end quote. So that's from Patrick Chung. Sounds like he's got the hang of rugby already. It's a good read. Nice to see him getting into it and what he's thinking about it, and talks a little bit about whether or not he wants to give it a try playing. So I'll link the article in the article that houses his podcast. So if you're interested, you know, just scroll down in your little podcast app, click the link in the description, and of course put in the article on the dnvr.com. So make sure you go and check that out, read it up, and tell me what you think. I'll close the show with the loop. I only have one snake draft left. You know, I've enjoyed doing these. Hope you've all enjoyed listening to them. It's been a little bit more extra work over the course of these last 6 weeks, month and a half. Been working on this for like 2 months now. But I've enjoyed doing them, but it's come to the end of the road now with the Olympics. You know, it'll be right in the middle of the Olympics too, so it'll be perfect timing, like right in the middle between the men's and the women's, you know, pool stages. So hopefully you listened to them, you liked them. Hopefully you got interested in rugby. You want to check out what it's all about, compare them to your favorite sports teams. That was kind of the goal, so hopefully it worked. If it made one new fan, it's a success. And then we'll get back to the regular scheduled programming when that's all done. Obviously, you know, always thinking about ways to make the show better, make the content better. And there's a lot going on with rugby in the fall. We just talked about PR7s. I know the XOs report here in a couple of weeks back for this fall stuff that they're doing. Rugby Town 7s is coming up, so we've got plenty of stuff to talk about. There'll be no shortage on content, which is a good thing. Such a nice change of pace from last year when we were scraping the bottom of the barrel every week just trying to look for something to talk about it. But we did it. We made it through, and looking forward to a big fall. The best way to keep up with all the latest rugby news and all that content we've got coming out is to follow along on Twitter at @DNVR_rugby and @ColtonStrickler. Keep up with all of our content on thednvr.com. All of the rugby content is free. So if you like what you see at the rugby stuff, you can go and subscribe, get the latest Broncos, Rams, Buffs, Rockies, Nuggets, Avalanche, whatever you're looking for. It's on thednvr.com. So make sure you check that out. That does it for the show this week. Hope you all had a great week. I hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy all of the matches this weekend. Enjoy the Olympics starting up finally. And I'll catch you all back here on Wednesday for our final snake draft.